at Acts 22, Acts 23. Yeah, Acts 23. We'll move through rapidly tonight. I really, the section that we're on has several little subsections to go with and to get a hold of. So we'll take our time. But I want to get through one of them tonight, and so we'll just kind of read here what we've been reading. But Acts chapter 23, we'll start reading at verse 1, and we'll go from there. It says, "And Paul earnestly beholding the council." Now, again, I think you know where we're at. He's been arrested just saved from the mob, actually. And they took him to the steps in order to get him into a calm environment, because they were getting ready, they were punching him, they were getting ready to take him out. And they were going to take him into the fortress of Antonia in order to get him into a calm setting to figure out what was going on. He goes, "Can I talk to him real quick?" He talks to him, he kind of gives his testimony, thinking surely they'll understand what I've done, where I've gone through. And they did not understand, which is, again, don't be surprised when people that you think should understand don't understand, because not everybody understands what should be understood. Amen. And so don't be surprised. So he's led it to there. He does really good until he says, "Listen, I wouldn't have done this except God told me to go preach to the Gentiles." So he said Gentiles, they went irate, they started getting angry again. So they took him in there, and they were going to say, "Hey, let's beat him a little bit. We'll get him some stripes upon his back, and then we'll question it." And that's when he, just the fact that they tied him up, got them in trouble, right? And so he called them on it. They got freaked out, and they said, "Let's give him over to them. If he's really done something wrong, let them put him to death. Let them do something crazy, and he'll no longer be a problem to us." Because again, they could have gotten in severe trouble for binding up a Roman citizen. And so their thought was, let's put him. So the next morning, that's when he stands before the Sanhedrin, which was just a group of 70 men who, plus the high priest, who made decisions for Israel. "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, 'Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day.'" That's unacceptable, because what he was doing right now, surely he couldn't have a good conscience before God. "And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. And again, it wasn't just a slap. It wasn't just a bad boy. It was a punch, or it could literally be a pummeling. So it could have been more than one. It could have been multiple hits on the mouth. Well, has anybody ever gotten hit in the mouth? I think I said it a couple weeks ago, that Mike Tyson has a quote that says, "Everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth." And that's kind of what it is that I think he was like, "Okay, I'm going to be composed and ready to go." And then he gets smacked in the mouth. And Paul said to them, "God shall smite thee, thou whited walls, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law." So you're like supposed to be the law, and you're breaking the law. "And they that stood by said, 'Revilest thou the high priest, God's high priest?' Then said Paul, 'I didn't know. I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people.'" Now, we'll get to this. It's one thing to call out what they were doing wrong. I'm kind of seeing this as we go along here, that calling out what he did wrong was not the issue. It was calling him names. "Thou whitest wall." Now, you follow me. That was where he had crossed the line. And he did it with contempt. He did it with contempt. So he said, I wish not that he was the high priest, for it is written, "Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." Now, last week we dealt with that area of Ananias' response. Why did he respond the way he responded? And some of that was very, very clearly that he had a problem with the fact that preaching or that giving Gentiles the same access to the God that they serve was not acceptable to him. And that was very real. But one of them that we dealt with that I believe could happen is simply the Holy Spirit, the God that they thought they served, the Holy Spirit convicted him in his heart. And when the Holy Spirit convicts somebody in their heart, there's going to be one of two responses. They're going to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Or they're going to act up. Well, that's what he did. He acted up. He wanted him to shut up because he didn't like, because of that conviction. And that's very well likely. So we talked last week about that conviction. But Paul says, his answer is, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou there to judge me and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And then they said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I didn't know, brethren, that he was the high priest. Now here's the thing that we're on here that I want to get us tonight. Was Ananias God's choice to be the high priest? And some people would say, well, there's nobody in power that God doesn't put in power, that God would have known everything that was going on, all that kind of stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is long before this point ever got there, the Romans became in charge of appointing the high priest. And so there was no spiritual concepts there. There was no priest that was appointed by God to be the high priest. That was out of the picture. Matter of fact, they enjoyed the concept of turning it over every year because it was such a lofty and well-paid position. But I know that Ananias was like around 8 years, I think, he served as the high priest. It is hard to say that Ananias was God's choice to be the high priest. And yet, Paul makes the statement here. I mean, he lashes out. And again, I read one commentator, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that said, I wish I could have heard the tone in Paul's voice to know if he was calm or if he was out of anger. I believe it was lashing out. I believe there was some fire behind it. I believe that there would have been an outburst of anger, an outburst of, even if you want to say an outburst of sternness. Now, he was right in what he said. But yet, Paul himself says, I was wrong in what I did. I was wrong in the fact that I went against you. The word that the men used there in verse 4 says, revilest thou? And that word revilest simply means to debase, to degrade, to shame. So the way he talked to him would have been one where he was talking down to him. He would have been calling him a name that was not meant to be nice. Paul used some sharp words. Now, what I want to deal with here is, was Paul wrong for calling out the authorities? Because according to this, you would think, yes, Paul was wrong and he corrected himself. It doesn't seem, that doesn't hold up scripturally wise. Some people say, well, President Biden and the liberals, they're our president, they're governing now, so we have to obey their rules and we have to do what they say. That doesn't fit with what the scriptures tell us. And so just because the high priest was the high priest and he decides to punish somebody against what is the way to punish them, that there was a trial, that he was found guilty and then there a punishment was set. If he was to strike a Jew contrary to that, are we supposed to let him just do that? The answer is clearly no. And some people will tell us, will ask the question, but Pastor Fenn, doesn't the Bible tell us that we have to obey authorities no matter what? And the answer is absolutely no. I mean, just think in terms of what a lot of authorities are trying to pass today. I guess the biggest ones that they're trying to normalize and tell us is normal and that we have to accept is the LGBTQ community. I think I don't know how many letters they have on the end of it, that we're supposed to accept that as normal, that we're supposed to accept, we're supposed to allow if your kids want. They're literally trying to pass laws that makes it okay for kids to have hormone blockers in order to start transitioning as a child into the other, and they're trying to make that normal. They have laws in place that a church, no matter what you believe, is still a part of what do you call it when you have to hire people, you can't hire based on their color, based on their sexual orientation, based on that. Churches, we can preach against homosexuality, but if I have people come in here and apply for a job and I say no because you're gay, I could be sued. We have laws now in place and to protect them from a Christian a business who doesn't want to serve, who doesn't want to promote that lifestyle. If they decide not to, they're going to have to pay them hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in settlements. So what do we do? Do we just tuck our tails and go, okay, invite them in here? I got caught on a thread today on Instagram on several pastors, and one was basically saying how he looks up to homosexuals and that homosexuals are welcome in his church and should feel comfortable in his church and they don't need to they just need to come in and not change, not do it. And again, I understand there's levels where that is, but again, we keep whitewashing things to make sure that we don't cause division or make sure people don't dislike what we teach. Well, I don't want people to think bad about our church, and so I'm going to go ahead and preach that it's okay to be gay. It's okay to have sexual. You know, I don't know why God made you like that. I mean, I got answers to that. God didn't make you like that. But how about this one that was very clearly a governmental mandate? Remember 2020? When they said every church needs to close down. Remember, they sat outside several churches who decided not to close down and took up license plates to go after people and to give them, you know, all kind of stuff because they were meeting. And then, now I want you to understand here, we did it simply because our president asked us to do it for 2 weeks. And I think we did it for maybe a month and a half or something on that order. But when it was time to come back in, I've got one phrase: never again. God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now we took that month or two, and we got on the internet, and we got video, and we got things going. Our YouTube channel, our Facebook is grown, our internet, our website's grown. We went and we've done all that kind of stuff. So I believe we made. We made the best out of that situation, but never again. Because the point is that the work, the plans and the laws of man can never go against the laws of God. I mean, just sticking with this point, what about ungodly rulers? If during the American Revolution, if the Christians would not have stood against the laws of England, which were the laws of the land, there would be no America today. We'd just be England over here, wherever. England West, England East, I don't know. But Christians stood against that law that was the laws that were ungodly over there and stood up and literally used the covenants with God, the Old and New Testaments, the writings of Isaiah and set up a new government, a new way of thinking by simply standing against laws that were unscriptural. Now people will say, well, Pastor Thad, doesn't it tell us in Scripture that we are to obey the authorities? And there is nowhere in Scripture that says to obey ungodly authority. No place. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 13. We'll take a gander at this one, and it'll give us a little bit of insight. But this is where they go to. Past that, it tells us to obey the authorities, those in authority. And it does not say that when it's dealing with ungodly authorities. Let's read verses 1 and 2, and we'll read this. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Now there may be translations. I didn't look into other translations, but there may be translation that says that would simply say, let every soul be subject to the governing authority of the governing powers. I could just check it here really quick here. Let's go to New Living. Governing authorities. Governments. That's literally not what it says. It says subject to the higher powers. Now that's where our teaching comes in, the seven levels of authority. And you cannot remove them from their position. The highest level of human authority is number 4, and that's delegated authority. People who are delegated into certain aspects. There's the small picture of like the local church. Pastor gives spots to different people to be authorities over that. Jessica's in the back right now. And if she chooses to dangle the kids out the window by their feet and hang them out there, I guess I've given her that authority. But there's different levels of authority that are done, that are given out. You go to another level. There's police officers. There's firefighters. There's on with that. There's the delegated authorities of presidents. But that comes at 4. And there's 3 levels bigger than that. First of all, it's God Himself, the Word of God Himself, or our veracious authority, or the authority of truth, and the authority of your conscience. The thing that God has set in you for right or wrong. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And so when it says here to every soul must be subject to the higher powers, it is literally saying that, okay, if Sister Ruth is in charge, you know, Pastor Thad has said you're in charge of the prayer meeting. But in her prayer meeting, she starts plotting against the government, how to overthrow it, and where to hook up bombs and all that kind of stuff. Everybody under that group, under that delegated authority, you go, no, we love you, Sister Ruth, but we're not going to do that. We're going to obey the higher authority that says don't do that. Are you following me on that? So it's the higher authority that you always yield to. So, do we yield to our government? Yes, as long as they're yielded to the higher authority of God. Do we yield to your mayor? Do we yield to the police department? Do we yield to the president? As long as they're yielded to the higher authority. I'm trusting that this is making sense. But it says, let every soul be subject to the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So God places them. Now let's understand that. It doesn't mean every person who's in a position of I need to wait until I get to there. It doesn't mean every person that's in a position of authority, God's placed them in that authority. I think there's probably very few of us in this room, if any of us in this room, that does not have the understanding that the 2020 election was rigged and it was stolen. There was cheating. There was a bunch of cheating. You don't You don't turn off the machines at 2 o'clock in the morning and then have them turned on and all of a sudden there'd be a lot more votes in there since it's been off. It doesn't work that way. And that happened in more than one state, right? So we understand that. So I do not believe, I believe very wholeheartedly that Biden is not, he is president. I'm not going to argue that, but he's not rightfully. He should not be rightfully. He's not God's, he was not the one that God chose. But all it takes is for good people to do nothing. Well, I'll talk about it in a second. Amen. So we need to understand that when we start resisting the higher powers, we're resisting, verse 2, we resist the ordinance of God, and they that shall resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That is, again, if we read that in understanding of what it's saying, it is not saying that if we don't do what the government tells us to do, if we you know, let's say we just close the churches up and make it safe, and if we do this, if we do all that kind of stuff, if we don't do that stuff, then we are in trouble of damnation. That's not what it says. Think about this, that Paul, even though Paul didn't even obey the laws of the land. And who wrote Romans? Paul. And Paul didn't obey the laws of the land. Because remember, one of the main laws was that it was illegal to be a Christian. So if he was going to obey the law, well, Pastor Thad, that's different. No, it's not. What's the difference between doing what God said and being who God wants you to be? That doesn't make sense. Yeah, but they weren't wanting you to be a Christian, and that was, Paul was openly a Christian. Somebody was saying, I'd be a Christian. No. Either it's okay to be a Christian or it's not okay to be a Christian. I hope this is making sense. I know I feel like I might be throwing out the whole bale of hay for just a few cattle, but I want to make sure this is clear as I'm getting. Is that if it's wrong for them to tell you whether you can be a Christian or not, it's wrong to tell you what's right and what's wrong based on the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. And that's all that matters. That's what matters. And so Paul didn't even obey the laws of the land because it was illegal to be a Christian, and he remained one. And that's what everything that caused trouble in his life. Preach the gospel. God does not tell us to obey governments no matter what. Now, let me give you this, illustration. Let's say a mom and dad are going out to go to a store, and they're leaving the kids alone. And you got the teenager, you got some younger ones, but mom and dad looks at the older one and says, okay, you're in charge. Now, while you're in charge, you are to not answer the door. You are not to open the curtains. You stay inside the house and do not open the door unless you happen to see that it is this postman or this man. He's got blonde hair. He's got a white shirt on. He's got blue jeans on. If the man looks like that and he's got a package, we are expecting that package. Go ahead and open the door for him and him alone. Now, what if someone comes knocking at the door who's got black hair, who's got a red shirt on and black pants? And he knocks and says, I got a package for you. Should they open the door? No, the one that gave them authority set the parameters and said, this is the only one you open the door for. You follow me on that. So that's kind of what we're in, is that God has given us responsibility of this earth, and we have people who are just doing what they want to do, leading how they want to lead. And I believe that those who are in authority, who lead contrary to the Word of God, is the most vile, is the, let me say this correct English, is the most vile form of sin there is. I'm going to touch on that in a little bit, and you say, oh, what are you talking about? What about the murderer? What about the, no, because people who are in authority, who make sin legal, are legalizing, are legitimizing evil. Well, I do it because the law says it's okay. I do it because I can do it. I'll say this, and I, you know, I thank God for men like Kenneth Copeland who are not afraid to teach on political matters. But you know what? If you vote for a person who believes and votes and agrees with abortion and backs abortion, whether or not you say you do or not, you are guilty of every child that's been killed by voting for them. You vote for the president who puts a Supreme Court justice on the bench who votes for Roe versus Wade. You vote for Roe versus Wade. I hate to tell you that. I know some people are going, Pastor, I don't think that's true. And that's okay. You don't have to think it's true. But you tell me how else that can be. I believe in their philosophical. Obama was voted into president, and my kids were both in school at that time, and they both did mock elections where he ran away with the vote. I don't know, did you vote for him when they had the mock elections the first time? You don't remember? But Ryan did, and I remember him talking to us, and he's like, I was trying to explain to him, it doesn't matter if he's the first black man. It matters what he believes. Because they were like, wouldn't it be so cool to have a black man in office? Listen, I don't care if red, yellow, black, and white. I don't care if you've got polka dots. I don't care about what his skin looks like. I want a man who is godly. Look, no, notice this. Romans 13. It tells us the kind of people we are to subject ourselves to. And again, it's about those that yield to the higher authority. Verse 3. For rulers, the ones that we're supposed to subject ourselves to, rulers are not a terror to good works. So the first thing about authority that we are to yield to are those that are not against good works. They terrorize the innocent. They use their position to get their ways, not what's right. I know that doesn't sound familiar at all to anybody in this room. But they're a terror to good works. They're a terror to the things of God. What God says, they're opposite of. And it goes on and says, but to evil, which thou then not be afraid of the power, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So when the ones we are supposed to are those that praise good. You do what's good, you'll receive the praise. You'll praise that which is good. So the second thing that we need, the first thing is we don't vote people in or put leaders in or yield to leaders who are a terror to good works, but only those who praise good works, godly things. They don't hate or oppose Christian activities. You say, but I don't even think this guy's born again. Pastor Thad, you know, a lot of people had opinions on Donald Trump. It's amazing how many people had opinions on him that was like he's a sleazeball, he's a heathen, and at one time you two were too, to a level, maybe not, you know, I don't know. And then all of a sudden those people are like, I like what he did. Now they're fighting for him. But Donald Trump was maybe not the perfect, holy Christian. I'm not the judge, okay? So I can't say yea or nay on that. But he maybe wasn't. But he defended the church. He protected the church. He protected things of God. He went against. He put people who are contrary to abortion on the Supreme Court. He protected the giving of the church. Whereas the new administration is targeting Christians, targeting men and women of God. So, beloved, it's they're not a terror to works, but they praise good works. And then verse 5, it says, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake. In other words, you're not submitting to them just because, I better submit or you'll be damned. You're submitting to them because your conscience says what they're saying is right. That goes to the top three. The authority of conscience, what God speaks to you, what the Spirit speaks to you is relevant. Our conscience will never go against what God wants. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says it like this. Then Peter and the other apostles, and they'd been arrested, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We have to obey. We have to obey ungodly authority. No, you don't. Your priority is obeying God, not man. Psalm 94, verse 20. I'm going to do this out of the Amplified Bible, John. It says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with you? They who frame and hide their unrighteousness, doing under the sacred name of the law. So it says here, shall a throne that is an evil throne, that is a sinful throne, shall we connect ourselves with it and obey it and yield to it? And the point is no. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Christian pastor out of Germany, said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Here's where I want to bring this down. Again, I'm not going to go real long here tonight. Paul was not wrong in saying you shouldn't have done that. You're going against the law. He was wrong in the name calling, reviling, shaming the man of God, shaming the person. Here's my point. It's okay for you to say abortion's wrong, no matter who's in the White House and saying it's right. It's okay for you to say we need not be supporting China and their godless government. No matter who's in the White House and how much they support China. It's okay for churches, are you ready for this? To stay open when the government says, y'all need to close your doors. It's okay. Even if they say that, because again, it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to say they were wrong. It's okay to say that the actions they did were wrong. It's okay. But it's not okay to call Joe Biden names. I know some of his speeches are pretty rough to not laugh at. But that we just need to pray for the poor old guy, because he's got some stuff going on that it's not good health-wise. It's not good for us to call him names. It's not good for us to revile him. It's just not. But we can speak. Ananias was not a good man. And we'll get into this next week a little bit. We're talking about the whited walls that Paul was. He was known for his greed. He stole from other priests. I mean, he was dirty. He was scummy. He was as bad could get. And Paul still said, I'm wrong. Because I shouldn't have shamed him. He didn't apologize for what he said, but how he said it. People say, Pastor Thad, I think our vote's not counting. I think whoever they want to win is winning, and so I just don't vote. And whoever gets in office, I just yield to. Well, beloved, that's not the way it goes. That's not the way it should be. Because God's given us a vote. He's put us in a country that we get a say. And you say, well, Pastor Thad, what if I'm being cheated out of my vote? Well, if you voted, then your vote is seed for the next 4 years. It doesn't matter what I'm protecting myself because these are going to be a horrible 4 years. I've not noticed it yet. I've heard it. I've heard it online. Chickens are going down. Shipping containers are being delayed. And you know what? I just had to go with a different brand of green beans or whatever, or just had to wait to get something. You say, oh, Pastor, are you bragging? No, I'm just simply saying my vote prepared me. And if enough Christians will get behind that, then it'll be impossible. You understand what they had to do in order to steal this last election? They literally had to turn off the stuff so people couldn't see the tallies. They had to turn off everything so they could put in stuff when it wasn't connected, because they realized the little bit of cheating that we're doing isn't cutting it. So it's our job to honor God, honor His system, honor His ways. Put Him above anything man has to offer. It's okay to speak the truth. But not to revile those in authority. Amen? I hope that made sense to you. It's an area I know we wouldn't talk on a lot. But just because of that, I thought, you know, Paul said he was sorry. Which tells me, and again, he was sorry for the harsh tone he took, for shaming him. Not for correcting him, for shaming him. And so, was he wrong because he told him, should he just let him smack him around? Nope. It's okay to speak the truth. But just make sure that you're honoring those that are in those places. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. Let's stand together. Amen. Amen. I want to spend time next week dealing with the end part of this, which I think will deal with a couple areas that I have. I didn't realize when I sat down and really started working things out today, I was like, oh, I've got. A lot left. I was just in this least four verses here, 2 through 5. But I want to make sure we don't rush through those. If I get through this hump and I start on that, all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, I gotta wrap it up. And I don't want to rush. So Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you, Father, for this body of believers. I thank you, Father, for who you've placed under my care. And so I take it very seriously. The words that I speak, I speak them with great care, and so I don't want to be I never want to be that person that just to speak my opinion, but I want to speak the word. And so it's important that we understand what the word says about things. And we're living in a day and an age where it seems like a lot of people are like, well, I've got to say it this way in order to appease the government, or to say for the government to say it's okay, or not to get in trouble with the government. And the truth of the matter is that we only have one way to say things, and that's where the Word of God speaks it. Anything contrary to the Word of God is contrary to the highest authority. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you will put in us a godly boldness, a godly fervor to stand up for what we need to stand up for, to be open in our words, to speak against that which needs to be spoken against. But at that same time, honoring those that are in the leadership, honoring those that are in positions above us, that we're not out to shame them, but we want truth to be known. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand that we're not somewhere in the back, but we want to be out front doing what's right, honoring the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, honoring your system. Father, we love you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.